Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. There is an interesting theme which runs through the lessons which are appointed for this third Sunday after Epiphany. Our psalm in morning prayer opens with the words, "Like as the heart desireth the water brooks, so longeth my soul after thee, O God." Here we have the psalmist likening himself to a thirsty deer looking for water in the desert. The Old Testament text in morning prayer uses a related image. Isaiah, speaking for God, says, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water." Here you will note the repeated theme of man's thirst. And then at the second lesson in morning prayer, there's a similar theme. There we have the famous passage in St. John's Gospel featuring the Samaritan woman at the well. She comes seeking water in the middle of the day and ends up having an encounter with Jesus, who offers a different kind of water. And then, of course, in our gospel lesson this morning, we have the story of Jesus, his mother, and disciples going to a wedding in Cana. In the midst of the feast, which in that culture would have lasted several days, the host family ran out of wine. In each of these texts, there is a human need of one sort or of another that is related to thirst. Human beings cannot live without water. We may be able to make it for weeks without food, but we can only make it for days without water. Thus, the scriptures use this very familiar image of thirst to teach us something important about the human condition. That is, in the same way that our bodies long for water, so do our souls long for God. Or to say it another way, the physical thirst that we experience in life is a parallel to the deep longing or thirst that our souls have for God. That thirst is present in all of us, but sometimes we seek to fill that void in another way. It's at this point that we can see the truth that Jesus Christ came to quench this God-given thirst that we all experience. The psalmist recognizes this when he says, "My soul is athirst for God, yea, even for the living God. When shall I come to appear before the presence of God?" In that context, of course, he's longing to be in the presence of the living God at the temple. In the text from Isaiah that I quoted just moments ago, God promises to bring water in every place to those who are thirsty, from the heights to the valleys and even to the wilderness. The truth is that this world is a thirsty wilderness which desperately needs God's presence. And this is exactly the image that Jesus employs with the woman at the well. She was there to fetch water in the middle of the day, and it was her very need of water that Jesus used to broach the subject of a deeper need that she had, the spiritual longing. He started the conversation by asking her for a drink of water, and she was shocked because it was uncommon in those days for a Jew to have any kind of dealings with a woman, a Samaritan woman. She said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" In Jesus' response, he reveals to her that he is the keeper of a living water. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water," meaning at the well, "will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." Notice how he flips the script from asking for her water and now offering to give her water. Of course, this piques the woman's interest, and she requests this water. And then at that moment, in a strange and subtle turn of events, Jesus reveals that he knows something very deep about this woman. He reveals that he knows that she has been married 5 times and that the man she's now living with, she's not married to. The whole scene gives us a backdrop for the sacrament of holy baptism. All of us need water, and therefore we must go to the well, so to speak. But our thirst is used by God to expose a deeper longing to return to the presence of God. Like this woman, to one degree or another, we are all entangled in sin and in need of the living water that only Christ can give. So he brings us to the well, or to the font, where he washes us with living water and gives us his Holy Spirit. But in our last text, Jesus goes even one step further. At the wedding feast in Cana, when they ran out of wine, Jesus could have said, well, just let them drink that water in those jugs over there. But he didn't do that. Instead of doing that, Jesus manifested his divine glory by transforming that water into wine. And this wasn't two-buck Chuck. Those of you remember that. I don't think it's $2 anymore. In fact, when the master of the feast tasted the wine that Jesus had made, he was shocked that they had saved the best stuff until last. And so this miracle points us to the Eucharist, where Christ gives us the wine of eternal life. So we see from our lessons today that human beings are thirsty. But our bodily thirst is also a manifestation of our spiritual thirst. Our bodies may thirst for water, but our souls thirst for God. And God has provided for this spiritual thirst by sending his Son. He brings living water to us in our baptism, the water that washes away our sins, and the water by which the Holy Spirit comes to fill the void in our souls. And it's not just at the beginning of our lives, of our Christian lives, that Jesus assuages our thirst. No, he continually gives us the best that he has every time that we come to partake of the Holy Eucharist. So when our souls are thirst, let us forsake the empty cisterns that we normally run to and come to Christ instead. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give